I want to invite our state chairman to come and introduce the senator. And Matt Schultz has been a friend, but he's become a very close friend through this process. He's the guy that calls me all hours of the day or night to check up on me, make sure I'm doing okay, but to also push me ahead and to challenge me to keep doing more than what we're doing. He's a tireless worker. He's got great ideas, and he's an excellent asset for the campaign, Matt Schultz.
Well, when I walked in, I saw my mom and dad. My mom's like, "You're going to be talking. What are you dressed like that for?" I said, "Well, we got to go knock doors, right?" So, you know, I just want to get that out there at the very beginning. After this, we all, you know, we're here to support a great guy who's consistent, who fights for what we believe in, and we need to spread that message. So if you weren't planning on knocking doors, I want to encourage you afterwards to sit with Brian and the other staff, and let's get together and get out and knock doors. But I want to tell you why I'm going to be supporting, or why I am supporting, who's going to be the next president of the United States. You know, I ran for Congress last year, and the reason I did is because I'm so concerned about where our country's going. I look at my children, my five kids, and what kind of future are they going to have? And I'm sick and tired of Republicans who go to Washington and don't do anything, who don't fight for us. And, you know, after I stepped down as Secretary of State and was not successful in my congressional race, I thought, you know, I think I'm just going to sit back and just watch for a while. But when Senator Cruz gave me a call and knocked on my door, I couldn't sit back. We have somebody who's consistently fighting for us, who's a consistent conservative, who never backs down, and he calls a spade a spade. When have we had a candidate like this since Ronald Reagan? I gotta tell you, I am so proud and honored to serve as Senator Cruz's campaign chair here in Iowa, to be able to be with this team and be able to work. You know, we are on the right trajectory, and I know we're gonna win Iowa because of people just like you and for being here today. So thank you. Thank you for everything you do, and thank you for helping us get Senator Cruz to the finish line. Now, how many of you want someone in the White House who's going to defund Planned Parenthood? Yeah. How many of you want someone in the White House who's going to stand up for religious liberty? Yeah. How many of you want someone in the White House who cares more about the Constitution and the people than power? That someone is our next president of the United States, Ted Cruz. Senator, come on up.
Well, good morning. Welcome. Thank you for being here. Thank you for everything you're doing. You know, we've had kind of an interesting week in Washington. The Pope was in town. You know, I have to say, it led actually to kind of an awkward press conference at the White House. Because every time the reporters addressed a question to Your Holiness, Obama answered. Well, and then the next day, the president of China came to Washington. News outlets across the world reported on this momentous meeting between the world's most powerful communist and the president of China. I want each of y'all to look around. The men and women in this room are why we're going to win the state of Iowa. This is a grassroots campaign. This is a movement of men and women who want to believe again in the promise of America. You know, I think back to January 2011 when we launched my campaign for Senate in Texas. Now, at the time we launched that campaign, I was at 2% in the polls. The margin of error was 3%. I actually came home to Heidi. I was all excited. I said, "Sweetheart, we're at 2%. She said, "Well, technically, couldn't you be at negative one?" Thank you, my love. And what we did in Texas is we launched a grassroots campaign. We went to hundreds of IHOPs and VFW halls and Denny's and sat with 10, 20, 30, 40 people and answered their questions. And it began to build. It started off with a few dozen. Then it became a few hundred. Then it became a few thousand. Then it became tens of thousands of people across the state. And I'll tell you, the people that came together, it was incredible. It was that old Reagan coalition. It was assembled all across the party. You know, I'm reminded of midway through the campaign, we were down in the Rio Grande Valley. Now, the Rio Grande Valley in Texas, right on the border of Mexico. It's overwhelmingly Democratic, overwhelmingly Hispanic, very low income. We were having a rally or an event in a church fellowship hall on a Saturday night. Had about 300 people come out. And the county Republican chairman stood up. He introduced me there and he said, "You know, most Republicans, when they come to the valley, they do a fundraiser at the country club, $1,000 a head." He said, "Ted's different." He said, "This is not a fundraiser. Ted is here to listen to each and every one of you, to hear your concerns, to have a conversation." So I got up. I said, "Javier, thank you very much. Thank you for that warm welcome. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you, everyone, for taking time from your family. I got to say, I got to disagree with one thing Javier said. He said, this is not a fundraiser. Everything we do is a fundraiser." And I told folks there, I said, "Look, if someone here can max out, God love you. I promise you, we will use every penny to communicate a positive, optimistic, conservative message. But I said, everyone here can contribute something. Everyone here can give $10 or $25 or $50. If you're in high school, $10 is the cost of a pizza." And I said, the reason for that, not even the money, it's that when you do that, you got skin in the game. That when you do that, you're invested. When you do that, it's not my campaign. It's our campaign. What I told folks there down in the Rio Grande Valley is what I tell you here today. I can't win this race, but we can. And that is the only way we can win, is if every one of us stands up from the grassroots. And you know, that Texas race, it ended up being a $50 million primary. Most expensive primary in the entire country. My opponent ran $35 million of nasty attack ads. Midway through the campaign, Heidi, watching TV, she looked over at me and said, "Goodness gracious, I didn't realize what a rotten guy you were." But from the grassroots, from the people, despite being outspent 3-1, we went from 2% to not just winning, but winning the primary by 14 points, winning the general by 16 points. That is the power of the grassroots. That's what y'all are doing. Look, more than anything else, I want to ask each of you to become arsonists. I can see some of the parents going, what did I bring my kids to? I don't mean literally lighting buildings on fire. I mean spreading the fire of liberty. And you spread the fire of liberty just like you spread the gospel. One at a time, with a personal testimony, looking someone in the eyes. That is the power of a grassroots campaign. Every one of you is a political entrepreneur. You have a circle of friends, you have a circle of family, you have a circle of colleagues. We're going to try to give you all the tools we can to empower you, to energize you, to help make it easy. But every one of you can wake up and think, all right, who can I get to show up on caucus day and stand with us? What can I say to persuade them, to energize them? And it could be all sorts of different things. Show you how different. I think about a year ago when I traveled to California. The week before I arrived, these posters began appearing all over town. Some of y'all have seen the posters of my head on a shirtless body that is ripped. Giant eagle on my chest. Two six shooters on my abs, which are a perfect eight pack. Winston Churchill on my right bicep, which is massive. A cigarette dangling out of my mouth, and above it, the legend, blacklisted and loving it. Now, we had, unsurprisingly, nothing to do with that. It's a local street artist who just began putting the posters up. But we decided, all right, let's have some fun with it. So we posted on Facebook, and I said, listen, for whatever reason, these posters have begun appearing all over Hollywood. I gotta say, I noticed a glaring error. I don't smoke cigarettes. Now look, this one street artist, his idea is an example of spreading an idea that spreads like fire. Because people, young people, they laugh, they shared that with their friends. That's what every one of you is here to do. Let me say two final things, wrap it up. One, it was interesting a minute ago with the reporters, they asked me. They said, gosh, you're opening an office now. A bunch of other campaigns have had offices for months. I said, look, you got to understand what we're doing. We're playing the long game. We are running a campaign to win this campaign because our country's in crisis, and if we don't turn back from the direction we're going, we are going to lose the greatest nation in the history of the world. Now, politically, when it comes to Iowa, we are all in Iowa. And we're all in New Hampshire, and we're all in South Carolina. But we're also, unlike most of the other campaigns, running a national campaign where we've got an incredible campaign apparatus. 10 days after South Carolina is Super Tuesday, the so-called SEC primary. Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas. We've got an incredible leadership team throughout those March 1st days. Now, you look at this campaign and how we're building it. The supporters that are coming together with us. In every campaign cycles, you have candidates who are the flavor of the month, who skyrocket up in the polls and then usually end up going down just as fast. You know, Scripture talks about building your house on a foundation of rock and not on sand. This campaign is designed to be built on a foundation of rock. The men and women who are here because we're people of conviction, because we understand that this country is under assault, that religious liberty is under assault, that our constitutional rights are under assault, and that if we stand and speak the truth with a smile, the truth has power. But the reporter still said, but gosh, the other guys had campaign offices 6 months ago. And I said, listen, we've already seen two very fine candidates, Rick Perry and Scott Walker, both friends of mine, both people I like and respect, both people who are terrific governors. We've seen both of their campaigns run out of money. You look at campaigns that spend a whole lot of money early, they end up not having the money at the end of the day to actually reach voters. One thing I'll tell you about our campaign, we are unbelievably cheap. We're committed to being good stewards of the resources that are entrusted to this campaign. So we've been all in on Iowa since March 23rd when we launched, but I got to tell you, for the last 6 months, our campaign office was Brian's living room, which we didn't pay him for. And what that means is the money we're raising is in the bank to communicate with voters. But let me tell you a second story. So a couple of weeks ago, we gave the green light after Labor Day. By the way, you saw other campaigns that ramped up their campaign teams. We didn't do that either. Now, we're doing that now. But we gave the green light after Labor Day. All right, now we're going to start ramping up the field staff across the state. Now we're going to open an office, because as you're getting closer, you got to have the time when you're going to deploy the assets when they're going to make a difference. But it's interesting, a couple of weeks ago, our campaign manager came out. Brian had scoped out a campaign office. He walked in and said, too small, way too small. Double it. That's why we're here. Now this office is going to be filled with volunteers reaching out to men and women across the state of Iowa. That's what y'all are doing. It is incredible. It is powerful. And in homage to Steve Dace, who talked about being a Star Wars geek, I was amused. There was a story on the internet that said I may be the geekiest person ever to run for president. I said, thank you. But in homage to Steve, I'll point out what we're doing here is not trying. As Yoda said, there is no try. Do or do not. And together, we're going to win Iowa. We're going to win this nomination. We're going to win in November 2016. And then we are going to turn this country around. And so I close the way I open, just saying thank you. Thank you for the passion. Thank you for the hours that you will spend away from your family, away from your kids, knocking on doors, making phone calls, reaching out to your friends and neighbors. Thank you for the passion and energy, because it is the men and women in this room that will win this race and that will save this country we love so much. And I am honored and I am humbled to stand with each of you.